Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. 503-982-2033, Barclays, BuySellPawn.com.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. This is a special edition of After Hours. We've got Merton and Glenda Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef fame. And these two are the impetus that started everything with Painted Hills Natural Beef. And some of the best beef in the world, if not the best, according to me. But what do I know? I've only eaten 10 tons of stuff. So, if you had one message you could give to a consumer, what would it be?
Well, you better go get a brand. If you want a good product all the time, you better go get a good branded product. Huh? Mm-hmm. I don't care whose. It's just you need to go get a good brand, because the others, you don't know what they are.
Right.
You know, there's stores that they've said that they're something, and then they take cow beef off the shelf and they ain't got any beef left. And you don't want to be taking older cow beef and feed that to your husband as a steak or your family, because it's usually gristly and it's kind of
might be an old rope and steer,
yeah,
you know, something not, tough like
it's
that.
Good. So you better get something that you really know what you're getting. That's what I think.
What do you think, Glenda?
Yeah, because the fact that products can be put on the shelf and be called beef doesn't mean that it's good beef.
Right.
It doesn't mean what plant it's come out of. It could be, like he's saying, like a cow plant. And but if you have a named product, you at least can go back to that company. We get a lot of people that call us asking about our product before they even buy it. They'll just see it in the market, so they call the office and they start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of phone calls. We have an information, also email address, that we get a lot of questions, and it's nice to have those. And we get a lot of people call us and tell us how great the product is or that they've had it. One of the funny stories is we had a gentleman call me one time, and he was always ordering our filet mignons.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Florida, and he'd have them shipped to him. One day he called me up and he said, we had the hurricane coming. I saved my filet mignons and took them with me. I thought that was one of the best stories, because that was as important to him as anything, was saving his product.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I reminds me of a story. I worked for Amazon. I was reaching out, trying to do different things. So I worked for Amazon as a virtual customer service thing. And that, you talk about the hurricane. I had a guy call me from Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, up there. And he wanted to know where his hatchet was, because they were having a storm and he needed his hatchet. And but calling back if we got disconnected. Well, I had no way of calling back. We were incoming only, you know, like that. And then the storm took out the line, and I never found out if the guy got his hatchet or he survived the storm, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like our jerky product. We send a jerky to the military a lot of times, and we get really nice emails back from them praising the jerky and
sure,
thanking us for sending it to them. And it's gotten a lot of respect that way, and so that kind of stuff is really nice to have.
Did you think it would end up like this when you started?
Oh no, we never dreamed it'd get like this.
Yeah,
we had no idea what our dream was.
Yeah,
we don't know what our dream was. We thought we had 2,200 head of cattle totally hooked up between us, that we could if we could sell those, that we were doing a huge job, you know. So, and you know, and so
we were
now,
selling those and still broke.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we use 10 times that or more. I did more.
Wow.
But that's helped us a lot. In the East Coast, it helped us a lot because we won a lot of taste tests against other meats.
Mm-hmm.
And we won a lot of there, and it helped us in Hawaii, too. We did that in Hawaii on our meat. I think we won 7 out of 11 categories, which was really good. That really helped us with the chefs.
I know you can beat Saudi Arabia, hands down, because I've eaten their beef over there. And I'm not sure where that comes from, but it was, I ordered a filet. No, it was more like a marginalized skirt steak, you know, like that. And it was pretty damn chewy. But that's what they were eating for a filet. So I think you guys would have the Middle East covered, too.
We got all ready one time to send meat to Mexico. And we got the container about half full, and all of a sudden the quota had been met. And so then we just had to take it all back out and sell it here because we couldn't go to Mexico with it.
Oh, geez. Do you have any problems with tariffs or anything?
No.
Yeah?
We don't. We don't go out of the country. Well, no, we don't go out of the country.
No.
So we don't have that.
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe, you know.
We used to go to Japan, but we don't anymore.
I thought maybe California would put a tariff on something that wasn't grown in California.
Well, you got to pay extra taxes going to California.
Yeah.
We have to do that.
Oh, that's a pain.
Yeah, it is.
That's a pain. But they never met a tax they didn't like down there.
They raised it quite a bit for us to go to California.
Oh, boy. That's a tough deal. Where do you think all this is going? Let me phrase that a little broader for you, if I can do that. Not just Painted Hills, but the cattle business, the whole thing. I mean, where's that all headed 10 years from now?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. You know, right now, the cattleman, the rancher and all, he's struggling. He's having a tough time right now. Calves ain't real expensive, so there's not a lot of money for him. A lot of cost of labor, a lot of that problem. So I don't know where it's going. Most ranches anymore, two-thirds of all the ranches in the United States, I think, are owned by absentee owners.
Probably, yeah.
Somewhere else. So as long as the absentee owner keeps buying ranches, I guess they're going to keep going.
Yeah.
But a lot of them use it for play toys, like hunting and that stuff, rather than ranching, too.
Yeah.
So it's just real hard to say.
I know years ago, I was doing a deal with a Japanese firm, and they asked me to go find them a ranch. And so I actually found one out of Primeville. It was pretty nice. It was 2,200 deeded, and they had access to about another 10,000, and there was 3 pivots and 2 houses. You know, that's what I thought was a ranch. That was too much for them. They couldn't conceive, those folks couldn't conceive of owning that much land. So they ended up buying 40 acres in Sisters with just a huge... And they paid almost the exact same amount of money for it. But they had a huge fishing pond right outside the front door. Beautiful place. And half a dozen longhorns. And a really nice big log house, you know, 2-story deal. The whole thing, and that was it. And that was their idea of a ranch.
Well, it was like South Korea group, and they wanted that. We were dealing with them for a little bit. We didn't sell meat. We didn't get to that point because we couldn't get the certificate to go out of the processing plant to take it to them.
Sure.
But they were looking for ranches here in Oregon, Washington, all over. But the problem is everybody's showing them these big old, bigger ranch, but a big cold ranch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you get a place where it's too cold, then it takes too much hay to winter and...
Right.
It's just too tough, you know.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that they didn't know what they were looking for, so these people are showing them these ranches that are awful cold.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, you know.
My opinion of a ranch is it needs to hold a cow on a half a ton per year. Per winter.
Mm-hmm.
If it's taking you more than that, all you're doing is artificially raising the number of cows on the ranch by feeding them more hay.
Yeah. So, now, you guys put up your own hay, don't you?
Yes, we do. We put about 1,500 tons.
There you go. There you go. What's your best day like, Glenda, dealing with all this?
Oh, best day. Wow, that's a good one. No, it's I'm trying to retire.
Yeah.
Not a part of it. Best day would be to know that you get a nice phone call at the office.
Yeah.
Someone that's praising the product. Now, that's probably one of your best days, when you get those real nice phone calls or emails or a letter from someone that's really pleased with your product and praising it. I think that's one of the big highlights.
What about a worst day?
Whenever you find out that the truck's not going to get delivered, or, or the products went to the wrong direction, you have someone have a truck and they get it back to New York or somewhere and they forgot to lock the truck, and so then it's not accepted because the truck has, the product has to be kept locked to be protected for that company back there. And just things like that that kind of ruin your day.
They will ruin your day. What's your best day?
My best day is any day I'm out on the ranch.
There you go.
That's my best day. I love that. That's all my life been is ranching, and that's what I like.
What about your worst day, when you got to be in the cooped up in a room all day or something?
No, I don't mind that. That's just part of the world. You know, I don't have so bad of days. The worst day is probably when I'm broke down and I can't get no head done.
Yeah.
Or I can't get anywhere or something else. You know, I'll tell you what the worst time of year is. The worst time of year is in the spring when you're calving. You know, what death loss you have.
Mm-hmm.
Little calves or cows or anything. An old cow, you know, she stays alive all winter and you feed her all winter. And when spring comes, the first warm day comes out and the sun comes out, she turns upside down, probably dead. Yeah, that's how they work. But you have death loss in the ranching business in the springtime. And that's probably the most depressing time.
Yeah. Well, you're not only financially invested, but, you know those cattle. I mean, you've been around them every day for, you know. I remember first time I ever stayed at your house, and you told me, you said the first truckload of cattle that you sent off kind of tore you up a little bit.
Yeah, I could have turned around and brought them back just as easy.
Yeah.
Because I knew where they were going. And all I knew all my life is to keep these cattle alive and keep everything good.
Yeah.
That's all you do as a rancher. That's your purpose.
Yep.
And you then came you to have the office and he says, I don't know if I can do this.
Then you literally have to go do that.
Yeah. That's part of it, though. That's part of the whole big cycle, but it can be tough, I'm sure.
You know, it's been 20 years ago or whenever we did this, and I still remember the first steer I took.
Yeah.
I remember him really well. And I got to give him all the credit because he helped make this thing happen.
Yeah. Anything you want to do on your bucket list?
Not that I know of. I'm doing everything I love to do.
Yeah.
That's what he always says. He said that or out under a shade tree in the mountain.
Yeah, there you go. How about you, Glenda?
Bucket list. Well, maybe go on another trip one of these days. Have some time. We did a nice trip a couple of years ago. And I'd like to do that again.
Did you ever get him to move all those rocks that you wanted moved around there?
No, not all of them. He keeps taking rocks to people in town once in a while, and I keep saying, how come they get rocks and I don't?
Yeah, I remember one day he was in trouble, and I asked Will where he was, and he said, oh, you won't see him for today or tomorrow. He's up there on his tractor. Mom got after him about those rocks, and so that was pretty good. That's all good. Well, it's been a real pleasure to have you guys here on the show and to be on our inaugural national broadcast show. This show, this particular one will air not only in Seattle and Portland, Eugene, and some of those places, but like I said, across the country. And this segment that we've just been doing is kind of indicative of web broadcasting only. But I'll guarantee you, you'll get several hundred, if not 1,000 people listening to this before we're done. So just on the web part. But thanks for coming over and doing it. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap it up for our after hour show with Glenda and Merton Homer. If for more information about Painted Hills Natural Beef, all you got to do is type in Painted Hills Natural Beef, and it brings up a lot of stuff, some films we did for them a long time ago and all that. And You can go to naturalbeef.com, I think, also, and do that. So until next week, I'm JT. We'll be back with another edition of After Hours. Take care, everybody.